This is Ashley from GoldenGoddesses.org, and welcome to the September 13th episode of Threshold to Ascension Radio. It's an honor to be sharing time with you again tonight as our thoughts go out to our Ohana in Hawaii with the tropical storm Olivia, and to our family and community on the eastern seaboard where Hurricane Florence is making its way. I just got an update from Paula in Raleigh. She said Florence's eye is just off the North Carolina coast, hammering the coast. The outer bands are hitting us here in Raleigh. They're expecting 8 to 10 inches, she said. So our thoughts and our prayers go to all of our family, both in Hawaii and on the eastern seaboard. Those of you may have expected tonight's guest to be Neil Gower from Portal to Ascension Radio. And Neil texted me this morning and said he had something come up that he really needed to take care of, and he sent his apologies. He's going to be on next week's show, so I do recommend that you tune in. Neil is a sound alchemist and the founder of Portal to Ascension, which is a beautiful online library of technology, education, and sharing. Last week, we had Solrita Antaria on, our beautiful sister from Australia. And I am happy to announce that Margaret Gates from Illinois is the winner of the drawing for Solrita's aura drawing and psychic reading. So I'll be contacting Margaret if she's not listening in live tonight. I also wanted to give my thanks to Carrie and Tiffany from the Joy Ride Show. I had the honor of being interviewed by those two beautiful goddesses on September 11th, and that interview is now up on their website. So although Neil's not able to be with us tonight, we actually swapped the guest that was meant to be with us next week and had him come with us this week. My guest tonight is affectionately known as Chief Joseph. His journey in this incarnation brought him from his birthplace of Okinawa, Japan, where he interacted at a small age with small galactic beings he called the Brownies, to living in the United States. Joseph was born of an Okinawa mother and a biological Cherokee father, but it wasn't until he was 17 that he found out that the father he knew and loved as his dad, who was Guamanian, wasn't actually his biological father. His initiation journey at finding his biological father, who his mother told him was dead, is a story of divine synchronicity, and perhaps one he'll write a book about someday, or we'll do another show on that topic. Joseph's passion for natural health started when, overcome with psoriasis and eczema, 95% of his body, he gave up on the pharmaceutically driven U.S. medical system and their toxic chemicals and started researching the root cause of his ailment. This long and winding road of Chiron, the wounded healer, brought him to an understanding that it was toxins in his body that was causing his immune system to be on overdrive, not his immune system going haywire. And with that knowledge and all of his years of research, he actually cleared himself of the psoriasis eczema that was so bad at times he'd have to wrap his cracked and bloodied hands and feet in bandages. His investigative journey, and I think a little help from his higher self, also introduced him to an Arapaho Iroquois medicine man who also was an orthomolecular scientist. And from that introduction, Joseph developed his proprietary chelation product called Super Shots and the topical stoppage. Listeners may have heard that on the commercial we do every show, and created his business Earth Healer, for you are the healer. For people to call to heal their body naturally, this chelation process, which includes the product, cleanses, and awareness of the toxins in your life, provides a pathway out of many conditions if one is willing to do the work. In addition to Joseph's passion for natural health, he is also a galactic experiencer, a sun dancer, an energetic healer, a practitioner of quantum shamanic alchemy healing, and an avid student of the downfall of the Archon Network, which is where we're going to start tonight. Because with the news happening, with the storms that have been developing, the topic of geoengineering of tropical storms and hurricanes is very present in the media and on many minds. So without any further ado, Joseph, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm part Okinawan, and although it is close to Japan and they speak the Japanese language, they don't consider themselves to be Japanese, the Ryukyu. So you've got that. And then my biological father was Cherokee/Punka, so the Indian tribe. So it's like East meets West. And where I derive my name Chief from, Joseph, is that I was told that I was part of the 13 tribes, actually the 12 tribes, and the combination thereof becoming the 13 tribes of the off-worlders. And so to bring that all together on this planet and on this plane. So it's very interesting because I was raised by the brownies. And many, many years ago, obviously when I was just a little kid, a little tyke, about 2 to 3 years old.
And that's a fascinating story when you start sharing it with what happened with you when you were in Okinawa. And just for transparency, Joseph is my spirit, my soul, my life partner. So I just want to be very clear about that. And he has a lot of wisdom to share. So you want to talk a little bit about the brownies, if that's where you'd like to start?
Yeah. My mom used to tell me stories about I would disappear for hours as a 2 to 3 year old, right? And we had a little walled-in compound, our house, there were two houses. And big, giant concrete blocks with a wrought iron gate that was always locked. And so I would disappear for hours, and my mom would freak out because she didn't know where I was. And little, you know, beknownst to her, in our front yard, there was a big open field. And underneath that field, about 4 feet under, was a spacecraft. And so these little brownies were in there. And I don't know how I got in, but I did. And we used to play at all times. And if you remember what E.T. looked like, could they kind of look like that, but smaller, much smaller, with no, without the skinny neck and the skinny arms and legs. They were very short, about the same height as a 2 and 3 year old. And so it was, you know, I didn't have the words back then to tell my mom where I was. And so one day she was ultra freaking out because I had disappeared for a long time. And she gets a little knock on the door, and there was a lady that was carrying me. She said, "Is this your son, Junior?" And she, you know, freaking out, obviously, and hugging me really tight because it was nice to know where I was. But number one, this lady was a stranger, and how did she know my name? And she said, "You know, I found Junior on the other end of the island. There's two islands that make up the Okinawa, with the bridge that connects the two." Said, "I found him on the other end of the island." And so, and she had brought me home. Now, how did she know where my home was? Because I couldn't speak. And so my mom was just hugging me. And she eventually, you know, after a couple of minutes, turned around to thank the lady, and she had disappeared. Now, mind you, you can't drive into the driveway because it's always locked. The gates are always locked. And the lady had just disappeared. And no clue where she went. And she definitely didn't have a car. So how did she find me? And how did she know where I lived, right? So my mom used to tell me stories like that. And I didn't know what to say. You know, my God.
I know that when you talk about the brownies, there's a lot of affection in your heart. I think the child, you had such a strong connection with these beings from other realms. And with your connection to the star nations and your connection to the elementals, you know, that's a big part of who you are. And as your journey has progressed further, you had an experience with Bigfoot as well up in Washington State.
Oh, I did. Yeah. I was staying at a ranch, and I went from one building to another about 2 in the morning, to do my laundry. There's a lot, they had a laundry room there. And I turned a corner, and there's usually a motion sensor light, and it didn't turn on. I thought, oh, that's unusual. It always turns on, you know, when you move, and it just triggers it. And so I went around the corner, and I got knocked over. And I thought, oh, that's kind of weird. I thought maybe somebody was playing a trick on me. And then I looked over into the orchard, and I see the back end of a Bigfoot, about 8 or 9 feet tall, just running away from me. So I couldn't tell if it was a male or female. But I think the females are usually about that tall, from what I understand. So I'm looking at the back end, and guess what color it was?
Why don't you tell the audience, the listeners, what color?
It was blonde. So it's a good thing I didn't tell her a joke because she'd still be trying to figure it out by now. But anyways, yeah, it was very interesting.
So Joseph uses a lot of humor in his energy and in his healing and in the things that he does as well. And it's fascinating because you didn't find out until later on in your life that although you've gone on a journey of natural health and helping people to bring their bodies back into balance, you actually, through your maternal line, have some healing. And was it your grandmother?
My grandmother and my great-grandmother were both natural apothecaries, you know, like they're medicine women in their own right, but Ryukyu style. And so my mom, she was always like, so, you know, she had a pretty rough life. So she tried to be more practical. So, but then she finally told me, you know, your grandma and your great-grandma were both apothecaries, and living in Okinawa, they had a lot of coral that my grandfather used to dive for and bring it home. And my grandmother used to boil it, you know, for all day long to get all the nutrients out. And so that was one of my beautiful remembrances of a kid. And it wasn't the greatest tasting thing, though, but I downed it, you know, because my grandmother said to do that. So you listen, you know.
Grandmother knows best. But it's interesting how the pieces of your past came together and the journey that you went on after your Sundance to find that relationship with your Cherokee biological father.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's interesting that the vision you had at the Sundance is kind of coming back now with your journey of your heart.
Right. Well, I saw, you know, you go 4 days and nights without eating or drinking. The eating part's easy for me. The drinking, no fluids whatsoever, that's a little bit more difficult. But it's meant to throw you into a vision, you know, the vision quest. You're supposed to do one of those before you do that. And so, man, I want to tell you something. It works because you go delirious, you know, with the vision. And on my fourth day, my first time out, I saw two crows. And we're on Crow Land.
Up in Montana.
In Montana. And I was semi-delirious in this life, you know, not just in a trance. But so I see two crows, big, just as tall as I am, and they had a scalpel. And I was sitting up, and they came to my sternum, my chest, and they split it open. You know, they just went down the middle, and then they took their wings, and then they spread the bones apart, and you can see the heart. And they actually went in and pulled the heart out, and it was still beating, you know, and I was just looking at it. I was just as an observer, and it was very interesting, you know, because I was supposed to do something with my heart. I was born on Valentine's Day, so I knew there was some kind of a heart connection there. And when I was born Aquarius, but my Chiron, which is the wounded healer, was exact to Mercury. And, you know, there's four Aquarius, the four signs in Aquarius that were right on top of each other, exact. And so I was supposed to be teaching the healing. And in my opinion, as a healer, if you're the wounded healer, which means that let's say, well, in my case, I had psoriasis and eczema, over 95% of my body 35 years ago. And if you want to figure out how to fix things, you're the person that actually fixed their issue, right? And same thing with the cancer. You know, if you want to cure your cancer, you go to someone who actually did that. So you get it firsthand, not theory, not something you read in a book, but you actually lived it. And you know, from that standpoint, exactly how to take care of it you know, within a narrow scope, right? But something that actually works. And so I learned all of that, plus I was supposed to be talking about it. So that's why I'm, you know.
Well, it's a passion for you. And we'll come back to the hurricane information a little bit later, because Joseph is going to actually do a little bit of a meditation for that. And I do want to touch on what's happening with the geoengineering. But since we've gotten onto the subject of healing, which was another part of what we wanted to share tonight, you know, your journey, how long did you actually suffer at the hands of the medical system?
Oh, my gosh. About 20 years or so. And I used myself as a guinea pig and a lab rat, right? Because we're talking about my life. We're not talking about somebody else. And as a number, so, you know, I just wanted it gone. I had, every night I went to bed with a fork and car keys, and I was itching and scratching my butt off, man, I'll tell you. So I was always a bloody mess. I was raw, and I had scales everywhere. And so that was part of my journey. And, you know, they say that about 4% of the people that get it that bad will commit suicide. And I thought about that a lot, because you go to see a doctor and they laugh at you, and you tell them to fix that. Well, there's no cure for that. Your life is over, you know. And as bad as it was, they didn't know what to do with me, so they kept passing me around from one PhD to another, skin doctor PhD. And just in my opinion, again, that they don't know anything about what they're talking about. And I can say that because I fought with them, and I thought it would be better by now, but it's actually gone backwards.
The health profession.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting too, because this journey, when you and I first met, it was, you had cleared most of it, but it was still on your feet. Your feet would crack and bleed a quarter inch or more, yeah, up in, and really looked quite painful. We kind of said he had, you know, his own Bigfoot feet at that point, but his perseverance and his Aquarian mindset, I won't say stubbornness, but just the knowingness that there is all of this part of the medical system that deals with suppression of symptoms versus getting to the root cause.
Right.
And it takes a lot of retraining to get many people to think outside of the box of what they've been told for so year. But I remember David in Chicago, when we met him at the Health Freedom Expo in Chicago, mm-hmm, probably 7 years ago now, he had been covered head to toe for 50 years, his entire life. This poor man had a hard time even looking us in the eye, and he shared his story. And, you know, Joseph's heart is huge, and his heart goes out to these people. And David chose to do the program. And in doing the program, which I'll let Joseph talk about, but it took him a full year, but he's completely clear, and he's been clear now for 7 years. And it's such an honor for you, I think, yeah, to actually be able to help people that are willing to do.
Well, his story was interesting, because he said, you know, when I was a kid, he said, I remember my mom every night tying me to the bedpost.
That's right. I remember.
Arms and legs, because I would scratch myself raw. And that's usually the way it is, you know. And so he remembers her crying as she's tying him to the bedpost. Now, think about that. I mean, that's not so good, right? But I remember my days of scratching and itching my butt off like nonstop. And you get to a point where you don't even know you're doing it. And, you know, it's just everything, you're raw. Everything that you put on your skin hurts. And so, you know, I thought, well, dang it, I'm going to figure this out, because one of the doctors, you know, I took him to task, and he's, I've been practicing medicine for 60 years. I go, no, you haven't. He go, duh, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, because most people, when they practice something, they get better. You still haven't got it figured out yet. So you haven't been practicing. I don't know what you've been doing, but that's definitely not a practice of anything, right? And so, you know, the way I look at it is like, if you go to a mechanic and you ask him to fix your brakes, you come back later after he said it's done, and then all they've done was, took the tires and just recycled them, you know, I mean, and instead of actually fixing the brakes, right? And so, you know, that is a skin doctor, pretty useless.
And this comes from someone who literally suffered for 20 years, and because you had such a bad case, they tried giving him medications. And I remember you told me they had like 10 pages of waivers you had to sign. Legally, the Congress passed a law that they're not liable anymore, the pharmaceutical companies. But back in those days, yeah, you actually had to sign waivers that it could cause death.
By just taking it, you know, you had a 5% chance. That means 1 out of 20. And I asked them, well, what number am I? You know, am I number 19? Am I next? You know, and no, it's okay. It's just a normal procedure. I go, no, it's not. Death is not normal. And that's worse, way worse than the problem, right? So what I discovered, it was the greatest experience of my life because it forced me into figuring this out. And, you know, what I found out was that, and I learned this in the sixth grade, but I forgot, you know, as all the doctors have forgotten. And basically, fat stores toxins, right? What's underneath the skin?
Fat,
right. And the skin is the largest organ of the body. So what happens is that the in order to save your life, your immune system, and then they call it an autoimmune. It's not autoimmune. It's hyperimmune. It's the exact opposite of everything they tell you. Your immune system is so hyperactivated that it's trying to detox through your skin, your largest organ. And so they're always working on the wrong side of the skin, you know, and they give you something more toxic, and it gives you some relief in some cases because you're just, you know, your body's trying to express it out and you're stuffing it back.
Putting a lotion on it or a steroidal cream or something.
Right. You're suppressing it instead of expressing it. Big difference. And so what I discovered was that pretty much almost most diseases comes from there. That is the root cause of most disease. And as we know, everything is polluted. You know, the sky, and we're going to talk about this here, geoengineering. They put stuff in the mix. So you're breathing that in.
Genetically modified foods.
Exactly. You know, GMO in the food, in the water, in the air. It's in everything. And my contention is that they do that on purpose. So you can call it a conspiracy theory, but if two or more people are conspiring to do something, it's not a theory anymore. And it's a conspiracy fact. So, you know, for whatever reason, right, there's all, and if you've been online for any amount of time, you know, all the theories and stuff about the theories. So, but, you know, you choose whatever one you want to believe in, but it's done with purpose and it's done to make people sicker because a slow death is more profitable than a quick death. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's just, again, my opinion.
And so as you discovered that it was the toxins in the body and it was the body trying to rid itself of the toxins, you went through several journeys of finding ways to actually rid the bodies of the toxins.
Absolutely. Yep. I used myself as a guinea pig and a lab rat and ran across a medicine man who was also an orthomolecular scientist like you had talked about. My opinion, the best of both worlds. And so we just kept throwing stuff at it and it wasn't really made for this. And he said, oh, you haven't tried my way. I said, yeah, you're right. But I tried every other thing, you know. And I wouldn't just do it for a couple of days. I'd do it for months and months because, you know, you got to give it a fair trial. And so it turned out to be humic and fulvic, which are properties that come from rainforest plants. And these happen to come, my plants come from about a mile underground. Approximately 450 million years old, 400 to 450 million years old, and it's very pristine state, and it's mined by Native Americans, and so I know it's done right. I use absolutely no heat, so it takes about 5 years to make it into the bottle. And when you do this, it chelates, and basically, you know what chelate means? That is.
Why don't you explain it to the listeners?
Yeah, that chelation means to neutralize. Basically, that's all it means. It's like when your immune system is working properly. One of the things that it does is it takes the toxins and it neutralizes the toxins, right? So it chelates naturally. So you go number one and number two, like it's supposed to be, not out your skin or out your eyeballs or, you know, wherever, right? So anywhere you have fat is a place, and cancer, fat around your tissues, but your organ tissues. And so you're overloaded with the toxins and you need to get those out. And there's a lot of ways to do that. And one of the ways is to go on a 30-day fast. But that's pretty dang hard. That's one of the ways to do it. But it's really hard to do. And you better team up with someone that knows what the heck they're doing because that's very intense. And you could die from doing that because you're going to start releasing toxins. So anyways, so that's just one aspect of this. And obviously there's other aspects. But that's the big takeaway. That any form of toxin, whether it's the sky, the water, and the food, but now it actually goes beyond that too. and it goes into your emotions, right? Which is in the air. It's not just the sky, but it's in the air. Your thoughts, right? Your thought patterns are toxic. Your emotions are toxic. And a lot of toxicity surrounding all, you know, the pedophilia, the blah, 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 all this thing that are going on around the world, they linger around the planet. And there's a grid around the planet, you know, that's a whole story unto itself. But basically, things are kept in, and it's bouncing around, and you're absorbing some of it. When you're on that plane, you're resonating with that, and you actually take that stuff in. So anyways, in my opinion, in order to fix a lot of issues, it starts in the emotional body and in your thought forms. And so once you start with that, then you can start breaking it down on the physical as well. You know, all the different, the sky, the water, the food. And you really got to know. You have to do the research yourself, because they're not going to tell you.
Well, I like how you talk about the liver and the filter of the body, and in really easy layman's terms about how important that is and how we're not taught that in our preventative, because we're not taught preventative health unless we choose to study it.
Right. And they don't tell you anything about the liver. And most doctors don't know anything about it. They just think it's a 3-pound little blob of red meat that just hangs there. But, you know, one of the things that it does is it filters your blood every moment of your life. When you're in the womb, when it first starts to manifest, it starts, you have circulation, it takes and filters out dead cells. It filters out all the heavy metals. It filters everything out. So it's like, you know, when you do laundry at home, when you do laundry, what happens? Like when you in your dryer, right? You have a filter. What do you do? How often do you clean the filter?
You have to do it all the time.
All the time, right? Yeah. And so you have to physically clean that filter. And then once you do that, then the filter can work better, right?
The clothes dry easier.
Exactly.
Right.
And so
using less energy.
And that's one out of 1 million functions that your liver does.
So the liver in the body is kind of like the filter of the dryer or the filter in your car.
One out of a million functions. And it arguably is your immune system. When they talk about immune system, so like some mumbo jumbo pie in the sky thing, what is your immune system, right? Well, I claim that it's your liver. Biggest part of your existence is that little red piece of meat that just hangs there, but it's doing so many things. And in order for it to work properly, and it's also involved in food allergies, breaks down food, makes A cells, B cells, C cells, T cells, all the white blood cells. And yes, via the bone marrow, but it tells the bone marrow what to do. All your enzymes, when you break down food, it comes from the liver, you know, the bile. That breaks down food in your stomach. And so basically when you eat something, your liver already knows what kind of saliva, what has to be in the saliva to break the food down. So when you eat an apple, it knows you're going to get all of the stuff that breaks down an apple. You're going to eat meat, it's going to tell you, it's going to make the enzymes that break those down. So it's so crucial. And people don't realize that because they're not taught that. And doctors don't even know that unless they're liver doctors.
Well, doctors are so specialized now, so focused on their own stream, that they don't talk to each other very much. So just kind of in summary of this, I think the important thing is getting to the root cause, understanding the impact that toxins have in your body.
Right.
Honoring your liver.
Yeah.
Obviously, being aware of what you choose to put into your body is fuel. And, you know, we're all going to live life. We're here to also enjoy some of the things that are out there, but to, in the most part, eat healthy and clean. But then understand that there's still maintenance required. Exactly. And with your program, it's multi-leveled. It's the liver cleanse. It's the chelation product.
Right.
And it's the emotional aspect of
it, too. And getting all the stuff out, chelating out all the heavy metals. Arsenic, lead, mercury, cadmium, nickel, all the Fukushima stuff. You can get those out too, because they're heavy metals that are bombarding your body. You can also take out mold, fungus, mildew, yeast, all of those things. And that's what the humic and the fulvic do. They're wide spectrum detoxers. And I found out just this year that the reason they want you to take vegetable source vitamins and minerals, not just because it's cool, but because you need the fulvic and the humic,
the nutrients
that are little tiny bits inside the plants to actually absorb it all.
Right.
Without that, it doesn't matter what kind of a source you have as far as plants are concerned. you can't uptake it in your body without humic and fulvic.
And that's important to know. And as Joseph has shared, you know, his source is very pure. But with the intention for us to do the show is not to make it a commercial for the product. At the end of the show, Joseph will tell you how you can get in touch with him if you want to ask questions. I think some of the people that we've seen over the years that touched my heart the most are the ones with little children. There was a young child, just a few months old, who had eczema so bad she looked like she had webbing between her fingers. And that her mom told us that the doctor said, well, if by the time she's a year old, the webbing's still there, we'll do surgery and cut it. And we're like heartbroken. And so she went ahead and tried, Joseph's product, and it is child safe. And within a couple of months, the little girl's hands were completely clear. And those are the things that, you know, just make your heart sing and just make you humble and joyful to be able to take Joseph, you take your journey of being a wounded healer, right? And find it's part of your soul mission. It's not your full soul mission. There's lots of other things you're here to do, but it is a big part of your soul mission. So any of the listeners who maybe have gone through your own journey of a wound, whether it's emotional or physical, and you've come out the other side, know that you have a gift to share if you feel comfortable doing that. We're going to take a quick commercial break. You're going to notice it's the same voice as Joseph's because it is his commercial for the topical, and we'll be right back in just 30 seconds.
I'm Chief Joseph, and I'd like to talk with you about a product called Stop Itch. It's an all-natural product that stops itching and scratching instantly from all types of rashes, including eczema, psoriasis, dermatitis, poison oak, all bug bites, and it's safe for kids and babies of all ages. And for a limited time, it's half off at www.theskingod.com or 888-391-5432. Thank you.
So if you are interested, again, no hard sell here. This topical spray is a good way to start. It's much better for you than any steroids. And the information is on goldengoddesses.org, as well as on Joseph's website, theskingod.com. So that's part of what Joseph's journey is here on the planet. But we also wanted to, again, as I mentioned at the opening, talk a little bit more about some of the archonic control programs, especially as it comes to geoengineering weather, because we're seeing it happening last year with Houston, with Olivia in Hawaii, and with Florence on the Eastern Seaboard. Joseph, what did you want to share about your research into geoengineering?
Yeah, real quick on the other, and then we'll get started on that if you don't mind. Our youngest client was a 3-day-old baby. They wanted to give the baby shots and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, you don't do that. I mean, come on. You know, we want to help naturally because there's no side effects. And we try to do it in such a way that it's really cheap, you know. It's $40 for our introductory product, but it's $20. So we want to make it really easy for people to get involved. Anyways, so when you look at geoengineering, you know, that's the big catchphrase, right? I call it chemtrails. Most of us call it chemtrails because geoengineering sounds really scientific, and it is really scientific. They've been doing this since the 1940s. And think about this, okay? It started with seeding the clouds. And then when they seeded the clouds, they wanted to make it rain, right? For whatever reason, because they need more rain. Well, how many fires have there been lately?
Especially here where we are in Southern Oregon and Northern California.
Oh, my God. All across the West Coast, right? And parts of the East Coast, too. Fires like you would not believe. And hundreds of thousands of acres. 1 million acres, I think, on the West Coast so far this year alone. And so you look at that and you go, they got the science down to a point where they can make it rain in a paper cup. It's so precise. How many times did anybody tell you that on the news, on any TV station or even radio station, that they were going to seed the sky and make it rain to stop the fires? Zero, right? At least I've never heard anybody talk about that. And so they could have made it, they could have stopped the rain in an hour, the fires in an hour just by seeding the sky. And for about $1 million, I'm just guesstimating here, I'm taking a stretch, for $1 million, they could have gotten from Tijuana, Southern California, all the way up to northern Washington, up into Canada. I'm talking about the West Coast. They probably could have made the whole West Coast rain for about $1 million by seeding the sky. And so within an hour, they could have made all the fires stop. But not a single person even thought about trying that, even though the technology is there. So I'm talking about control of weather, right? They've got it down to science. And even the fires, especially last year, you saw that they also have control of the fires by shooting 1 trillion watt laser beams from certain special satellites, weather modification satellites. And they exist as weaponized weather. And so they've been doing this forever and ever and ever. And so the trillion watts superheat the atmosphere, and it actually, they can control hurricanes. They can control that, and they can control which way it goes and how much it's going to dump. And so same thing in Hawaii, right? And, you know, they talked about, the 21, Agenda 21. Now it's Agenda 25 and Agenda 30, that they want to pick up all this prime real estate for next to nothing, because when you burn everything down, it's not worth anything, right? So supposedly, you know, and you got to do the research and you come to your own conclusion. But that's a really good way to pick up properties for next to nothing, you know, pennies on the dollar. And so if that is actually going on, that will be the perfect false flag with the upcoming election, because everybody keeps talking about false flags and this is going to happen, that's going to happen, whether you listen to Trump or you don't listen to Trump, if you like him, if you don't like him. Just the thought, the timing of this is absolutely amazing.
Well, it's fascinating because you're familiar with Dane Wigington,
yeah,
and geoengineeringwatch.org, and he came out with a post talking about Hurricane Florence. And what I found fascinating, it says, early on, forecasters somehow knew that Hurricane Florence would follow a nearly straight line course to a specific region in the U.S. East Coast. How did they know? Mm-hmm. Because they're reading a script, yep, that's passed down to them from up the ladder, a script that ultimately originates from climate engineering contractor Raytheon. And guess what? Raytheon does all the modeling for the National Weather Service and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
And they do most of the weapons research for our government, our military. So you think about that, you go, how do they know any of this? They're just weather guys, bless their hearts, but they're not engineers. They're not weather engineers, right? So how do they know where it's going to go, where it's going to stop, and it's going to—they give you the precise outline of where it's going to go, and it's going to go this way. It's going to go—you're going to go from Category 3, then it's supposed to go to 4, 5, 6, and then it's going to go down eventually after it releases all its energy. But it looks like, thank goodness, that it's actually minimized. But how do they know that it's going to affect 10 to 12 nuclear power plants? The same exact ones. The model that were at in Japan, the exact same models, which means that if you overflood the areas, they're right by rivers and even oceans, right? So if they can overwhelm them with flooding, you can have another Chernobyl and the Japanese
Fukushima
mm-hmm. style. So that's a perfect false flag, because that's going to affect us in very physical ways, right? And so we're going to be trying to bail each other out, fix things, and we're going to be so busy that that it's going to take our mind off of whatever's going on. So very interesting as far as the timing of this.
Well, it's interesting because also there's another typhoon, Super Typhoon Mangkhut, I might be pronouncing it wrong, predicted to possibly become the most powerful storm since record keeping began, impacting the Philippines and Hong Kong, a huge financial center. And those of you that might be following the RV with China and Hong Kong and all of the players that are looking at shifting the financial system into a more humanitarian, less fiat-based center. But it's interesting, Dane Wigginton says, how many other dire global news issues will be omitted because we're focused on Hurricane Florence? It's that wag the dog. Now, of course, to those of you that live in that area or have family in that area, you know, there is a real life 3D impact. But as we understand the corruption that's taking place through this powers that were, and, you know, in the show, we try to stay on a higher frequency, but this is impacting lives and it's important. And I don't know how many of you are aware that next Thursday, September 20th, there's a nationwide emergency broadcasting test. And when they've done these drills before, like the drill at the Boston Marathon,
that's when they actually do. Now they're going to say, well, we wanted to be prepared. And that's when it actually happens, when stuff takes place. Hopefully not, because it's a false flag that people are now waking up to and know that it's coming. So they have to keep changing their tactics, you know. That's why they had to go to the weather, because you can't just blow stuff up anymore because they're going to get caught, right? So weaponized weather. Now, having said all that, you know, and this is part of the toxic environment that we're in, right? Because you put stuff in the sky.
Yeah, the barium, though.
Well, not only that, but new life forms. Right. There's two new life forms they can't even figure out. They're crystalline and they split, you know, like viruses. You can't, they don't know how to stop it. And you got black goo. That's another whole story into itself. They've got all these things, cancer-forming agents that actually go into, like mold and mildew and fungus, super weaponized in the stuff that they're spraying. And so people are getting sicker. And so not just the metals, which are bad enough, right? Because they're toxic, heavy metals.
Right.
But they're also all this other stuff, the exotic things that we have no clue what's in them. And so that affects us, too, on this planet. Plus, it's killing off animals, trees. And these metal particles also help the trees to burn faster. And think about that, right? So when they start these fires, things just start to burn more because they're metalized. And so, but now with all the stuff that we're talking about here, and it goes on and on and on, think about this, okay? I'm going to say something that's really shocking. I'm 100% behind it all.
Why?
I believe all of this with one thing. All of it. I'm for it all. As long as we experiment with all the stuff on the CEOs, the managers, the scientists that actually do these,
they put it together.
Let's test it on them first, because they always say, "Oh, it's fine, it's safe, it's like water." Okay, the GMO stuff. Okay, that's great. But let's see you drink this. Let's see how long you survive.
Right.
And then if it's true, you're absolutely correct that it's safe for everybody, then we'll do it.
We'll test it on you first.
That's what I would say. I'm all for all of it. You know what? We're going to start thinning out the herd in a good way. So, not us unwashed masses like they call us, but to these highfalutin elite, you know, we need to start there. You know, and so that's just my opinion.
Well, and just like, you know, Joseph's journey of having this rise as an eczema and doing his own research and finding a way, a solution, that's part of why we're sharing the information about the geoengineering. Most of you, I'm sure, that are listening to this call are somewhat familiar, but the more we're aware of it, the more we're prepared for it. And then there comes the other side of it, too. I know that you have a favorite part of one of Greg Braden's book that's called Pray Rain.
Right.
Do you want to give a little bit of background of that and then lead us into that holding space, or however you'd like to do it, for those that are in the path of the hurricanes as they are currently flowing?
Sure. I'd like to go into two different modalities.
Sure.
Okay. The first one is pray rain. So if you want to manifest something, you don't just pray, you know, supplicate to a God wanting more of something, right? And that's okay up to a point. But how about praying for something that already exists, because we're all one in quantum physics. You're the observer, so nothing can exist without you. And that's a whole story we can go into.
The difference between praying for rain, which is a lack,
exactly,
or praying rain, and which knowing is an experience.
It's there. And so many years ago when I lived in Las Vegas, and we can look this up, it was bone dry during the middle of the summer. And it gets to the 130s, 135 in the summer. In Las Vegas, it's hot. So anyways, so after reading his book, I thought I'd try it. And I prayed rain. And basically what that means is you go inside, inner, and you feel the water. It's not like, you know, you can...
Maybe you should pray dryness.
No. Yeah, you could dance, you know, you could do the rain dance, right? But what better way than to sit there and go within, meditate, and you're sitting outside, or you're physically sitting outside, or standing in the dirt, barefoot, and now you feel the rain actually fall on you, and you hear the rain, and you're squishing your bare feet in the mud all around you now because it's raining.
So you're envisioning that in your meditation.
You're actually experiencing it in your mind, in your heart. And so you're walking around, experience it on another realm, right? And according to quantum physics, unlimited amounts of universes exist, multiverse, right? They exist on some level. And so you pick the level you want to be in. And so you pick that. And I'm going to tell you something. The next day, it rained so much. Cars. I mean, I was next to one of those. What do they call them? Sewage.
The drainage gullies.
Yeah, the drainage gullies. Huge. They're like the ones in Los Angeles. They're big. They're huge. Anyways, and my house is on the other side of the wall, and cars are floating down. There's so much rain, and I talked to a healer, a seer. I said, "What?" You know, I told them one of the very few people what I did. They said, "Yes, you did that." I said, well, why did it rain so much? I said, because you didn't put a limiter on it. Rain enough. Because I was just testing it, you know, to see. And so it could have been totally 100%. Could have been
by chance.
Coincidence, right? I don't think so.
Because, but it had been how many days of no rain?
Because months and months of no rain.
There was no rain forecast.
There was no rain forecast. Right. I checked to make sure. And I just did this overnight just to test it, right? And it rained like nuts. And because it's in the desert,
right?
You know, after it absorbed X amount, it just started running, right? And so I'm here to tell you that it works.
And the second
one is you and I took Willie Whitefeather out.
Oh, beautiful!
Remember?
Beautiful.
And you know, and we came out of the restaurant. The sky was just beautiful blue, but it had straight lines, you know, like. Someone was actually playing tic-tac-toe up in the sky, right?
The chemtrails.
And so I'm getting my fist out. I'm yelling at them. Oh, you blah, 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 blah. And you know what he did? He went, oh, great spirit, please bless these people. Bless their families because they're only doing their job. Bless everything that this stuff touches, you know. Make everything greener. Make everything blossom. All the animals thrive that are breathing this in. So what he did was he turned a curse into, and that would be my prayer.
Right.
And so use this. If everybody did this, we'd have no problems on this planet.
Because remember,
when two or more people are gathered, but they have to be on the same level. Same. And then Lynn McTaggart, she talks about the power of eight. She has it exact science now. You know, she's done it with thousands of people, and it's changed through universities, very scientifically, in the field, that she wanted to test the field and intention experiments. And so, you know, if I had my way, I'd probably shoot these planes down. Luckily, I can't do that. I don't have the capacity, right? But if and you know, I don't have the cannons to shoot these planes down.
Well, that's
I don't
have not the way to go.
No,
either,
of course
my
not.
Love.
I know that. So since none of us have that capacity, why don't we do something about it by going within, like Willie Whitefeather did, and turn a curse into a blessing? And if everybody did that, they'll have to stop because things will just be blossoming like crazy, right?
That's true. So let it be so.
That we can do. It's like Ho'oponopono.
Right.
You're giving Ho'oponopono in a real way, in a real physical way, and it's the power of prayer, the power of intention. These are real things.
Right.
It's been proven over and over again. Maharishi. And so that would be my meditation. is to do that and turn a curse into a blessing.
So
and
if we also, do that now, if we hold space, if everyone wants to close their eyes and just take a deep breath and center in your heart and really trust the light that you are, trust the divine that you are, and breathe that light deep into your heart and see above where Hurricane Florence is, where Tropical Storm Olivia is, this tropical storm that's building over the Philippines and Hong Kong. See all of us around the world that know the truth of the light that we are and know there's a better way. See our light shining on to those areas.
And feel the wind all around you as you're standing or sitting there in the middle of the eye of the storm and the rain that's falling down. Feel it. Hear the wind, and now feel it subsiding, slowing down, the spin going the other direction now, countervalent, and feel that, and the water is just, the rain is turning into just trickles, sprinkles, nice and easy, beautiful, beautiful, because you've got the divas now, of the storms, and they're activated to do something. So let the storm go back out into the ocean. Let them do whatever they want in the ocean, safe from other people and from boats and ships and things of that nature. And see it and feel it dissipating.
See the water undines, supporting the shift in the movement offshore. The air silts. See them, gratitude to them for moving this offshore away from populated areas. And also see our star brothers and sisters, give thanks to them for their support as well in dissipating these geoengineered storms.
Absolutely. And so just ask them to help, and they always will do that. They go, when you go from your heart, we're in a universe of love, universal love. And it's the most powerful force in this universe. And they ride on that vibration. And you can talk about ascension all day long, but to use it through this kind of prayer, and this is a real practical prayer, is to have them help with their technologies to actually help to subside the spin of the storm. And also they can help with the divas of the storms to actually slow everything down and go back out, you know, bounce off the coast and could come right back out into the ocean again. So we don't have a flooding of the power plants, and so we don't have meltdowns.
And so staying in that frequency of seeing, feeling the joy, the celebration as these storms are dissipated, giving thanks to the elementals and the divas, our star brothers and sisters, Gaia herself, and just hold that frequency. And just for short times over these next several days, just hold that frequency and that intention. And we thank you for doing that. We've just got a couple more minutes. We will do an after the show because there's a lot more for us to talk about that will be posted next week on the YouTube channel. Be aware, next Thursday, September 20th, with the test of the emergency broadcasting system, that you have enough food and water just in case. We're not fear mongers, but you never know what the powers that we're going to try to do. So, Joseph, for those of the listeners that are interested in finding more about your process for chelation, which is not just for psoriasis and eczema, it's one of the most powerful detoxes on the planet as well. How is the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, I've got several ways to contact. One is the phone number, and it's 888-391-5432. That's 888-391-5432. I got a couple of websites. One is my original website is Earth Healer. That's URTHEALER.
Which is getting a facelift.
.com. Yes, it's an older, it's 1.0. And then The Skin God, The Skin God. And then on Facebook, it's Facebook/ The Skin God. Now, these are all under construction right now. So please, please check them often. And within another day or so, I'll have them the basic functionality. So please, please, please. If you have any questions whatsoever, please call my number and I won't force you into anything. And it's all about helping, right?
You share a lot of great information with people. You're a great educator and communicator, and he's happy to answer questions. And I want to thank Joseph for being willing to move his week up 1 week. He was supposed to be on the show next week, and so that's why things aren't completely done. Again, Neil Gower will be the host, will be the guest next week. And I forgot to say, we're giving away a 32-ounce bottle of Super Shot. So go to goldengoddesses.org, scroll down, and you'll see the entry form to win a 32-ounce bottle of this amazing chelation product. So do that. The winner will be announced next week on the show. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful night. Stay safe. Stay in your heart. Thank you, Joseph.
Okay, namaste. Namaste.
Mahalo and good night.